Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This last couple of days here on VFN Radio, we've been sharing about the Constitution, and we've been sharing a series by Judge Napolitano. And it's so important that we talk about the country, we talk about our Constitution, and we get informed. We've been talking about how it's so important to know the original intent. Because if you understand the original intent of anything that's been created, then you're going to understand the purposes, you're going to cherish it, and you're going to use it the way it was designed to be used. And you're going to know when it's not being used the way it was designed or purposed. And so we've talked in this series about Congress and what the Constitution holds them to and their involvement in the Constitution. But now this segment is going to deal with the president and his responsibilities as it relates to the Constitution. Listen up.
Under the Constitution, the President of the United States is the head of the executive branch of the federal government. He's not in charge of the Congress, and he's not in charge of the federal courts, just the executive branch of the government. That means he has three responsibilities. The first is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution itself, which guarantees that your liberties and your freedoms remain secure. The second is to enforce the laws that the Congress has written. And the third is to be the commander-in-chief of the United States military.
The executive power of the federal government is granted by the Constitution to the President of the United States. His principal job, as set forth in the Constitution, is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution itself. His additional jobs are to be the chief law enforcer of all federal laws, the commander-in-chief of the military, and the chief foreign diplomat in the country's relations with other countries and international organizations. He also appoints all senior officials in the executive branch, all cabinet members, all generals and admirals, and all federal judges and Supreme Court justices. Virtually all of his appointments require the consent of the United States Senate, but not the House of Representatives. The President has the power to sign into law the legislation that is sent to him by Congress and the power to veto legislation. Since neither House of Congress can act without the agreement of the other, except for the Senate, when it alone may and must confirm judicial and executive appointments and ratify treaties, the President may only sign into law, or may only veto, that which has passed both the House and the Senate. If and when he signs legislation, it becomes law at the moment he signs it. If he vetoes the legislation, it can only become law if both houses of Congress vote by a two-thirds majority of each house to override his veto. If one of the two houses fails to obtain a two-thirds vote to override his veto, then the legislation is dead for the remainder of that session of Congress. If he neither signs nor vetoes the legislation, then it becomes law without his signature 10 days after he has received it from Congress. As the chief protector of the Constitution, the President is charged with assuring Americans that everyone in the executive branch of the federal government, which numbers well over 3 million persons, uses the power of the government consistent with the Constitution. Thus, the President is lawfully required that every federal agent, whether from the FBI or the CIA or the IRS, for example, every member of the military, from the lowest private to the highest general, and every bureaucrat, whether appointed by him or employed as a life civil servant, upholds the Constitution and obeys the federal laws and the laws of the states in which they may be located. This obligation to assure compliance with the Constitution and the federal laws of everyone in the executive branch includes, of course, the President himself. He cannot pick and choose which laws to enforce, which laws to obey, and which laws to ignore. He cannot decline to spend money that Congress has directed be spent. He cannot disregard a treaty simply because he disagrees with it. He can, however, decline to appoint federal officials and thus frustrate the ability of Congress to have the executive branch enforce the laws in a timely and efficient manner. If the president himself engages in behavior that is arguably unconstitutional, and if someone, American or foreign, is injured by his behavior, and if the injured person sues the president asking a federal judge to prevent further unconstitutional behavior on the part of the president, and if that person prevails in court, then a single federal judge has the power under the Constitution to order the president of the United States to cease from his planned behavior. This has happened countless times in American history, and many presidents have unlawfully disregarded orders of federal judges unless and until they have been affirmed by the Supreme Court. From George Washington to Barack Obama, virtually every president has enhanced the power of the presidency, either by asking for more power from the Congress, which the Congress has frequently and often unlawfully given to him when asked, or by doing just whatever he wishes and hoping and expecting that no one is powerful enough to stop him. Most modern presidents have contended that their principal job is to keep us safe. They are wrong. The Constitution says that the president's first job is to keep us free. If he keeps us safe but not free, he is not doing his job. With the passage of time, the president's responsibilities, of course, have changed. The founding fathers and President George Washington could never have imagined the presidential responsibilities of today. But the Constitution has not changed, and the limits on the government have not changed. And the president's principal job is to assure that all Americans remain free.
Wow, this is great. Wow. We learned so much through these series.
Amazing.
My goodness, the Constitution and the president.
Mm-hmm.
He is the head of the executive branch, right? Not mm-hmm. over Congress, over the judicial branch. And his primary responsibility, he has three basically, but the first one is to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution.
That's right, right.
Which is so important. I mean, he takes an oath, you swear an oath to it. And I love how, which is so true, you hear a lot of presidents, recent and past, that they felt that their number one job responsibility was to keep Americans safe, especially in terms of what's happening with terrorism in the last, mm-hmm. what, 10, 15 years.
Right.
But really, the Constitution, which basically gives them the job description, says that your number one responsibility is to keep Americans free.
Right.
Because if you keep them safe, but they're not free, they're just in prison.
Right. Exactly. There's no point in that.
You go to jail for that.
Yeah. Right. The second is to enforce the laws, right? And third is that he's a commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
And all this is outlined in the Constitution. I mean, how important is this when you think about, I don't know, what's happening in Egypt? You know, that they have a constitution, they were drafted, they ousted Mubarak and the Muslim Brotherhood, and now they have Morsi. And not too long ago, he just decided he's going to be the dictator, pharaoh. I don't know what he just decided that's what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe that's changed. I haven't heard of it changing, but that doesn't mean it hasn't changed. I mean, he just set himself up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
Which is what you call a weak constitution. And we should be grateful that the constitution that we has gives the president, gives Congress, it gives them power, it gives them authority, but it gives them limited power and limited mm-hmm. authority so that they can't overrun each other or overrun the citizens of this country. And how we see that functioning in particular is how laws are created. That the laws have to pass in the House and they have mm-hmm. to pass in the Senate. And once they pass in both, then they go to the president where he can either sign it, not sign it, and after 10 days it becomes law,
mm-hmm.
or he can veto it. Which means says he's not going to sign and put that signature in the law. And if he does that, mm-hmm. then it has to go back to the House and back to the Senate, and two-thirds have to vote on it again for in order for it to pass.
Right.
Well, this kind of keeps everybody in check, where it keeps the Congress from going rogue and saying, we're setting up all these laws that the president's going to have to enforce, mm-hmm. right? And it keeps the president from just doing whatever. He has to do everything. Mm-hmm. He has to enforce all the laws. He can't pick and choose.
Yeah,
right.
And I love how it's just the wisdom of it, the wisdom of our Constitution. I mean, it's not a perfect document, but let me tell you, it's been working pretty good. And I don't know of another constitution in the world
right.
that any country's using that's actually better, that protects freedom. And that's the whole thing, that we have been mm-hmm. given these rights not by government, But we've been given these rights by God.
Mm-hmm.
If we say and take that argument that the government has given us those rights, which is wrong, then that means that if they giveth, they can take it.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't want them to take. I mean, which right do you want them to take it away? You want them to take away the freedom of speech? It means we can't share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You want, you know, to take away your right to bear arms? That means you can't defend yourself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to take away the Fourth Amendment, your right to privacy, or do you want that right to privacy to be absolutely taken so that at any time anyone, whether the government or whoever they say, can come and search you, yourself,
mm-hmm.
your belongings, your home, and do what they want? There's a reason why we have learned. And it's just amazing that if we separate the tragedies of what's happened in the past from the realities that are occurring today, then we won't learn from those experiences. I mean, we say this often, but we need to borrow the experience and not buy the experience. We this country has already bought those experiences of tyranny before. We've have experiences and bloodshed of what happened with King George.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole reason the Constitution exists.
That's right. Yeah,
it's because we wanted to ensure, the founders wanted to ensure that, listen, these things were not going to happen again. And we're going to write a framework. We're going to share a little bit of our government because because we learned that the states, the 13 colonies, they had all the power.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who formed the federal government. The federal government didn't form the states. And they shared a little bit of their power to have a centralized government. Let me tell you something. We got to know the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
We got to know our freedoms, because if we're not familiar with them, we're destined to lose them.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.